here. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 1. It's on page 823 if you're using the Pew Bible there in front of you. Galatians chapter 1. Paul writes these words. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. If you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stay with him some 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I've mentioned to you before in recent days, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, if you were not aware of it, we are in an election cycle. And one of the things that we find and we learn and we see during an election is that one of the most important things one campaign can do to another is to look back into someone's past and dig up something that they did way back when and try to say, look how bad this person is. They're obviously not fit for whatever office. And I don't know about you, but when I see something like that happen, it makes me a little nervous. In the sense of, if you could follow me, Wayne Splon, from birth to today, there's plenty back in my past that I would just as soon leave in my past. Amen? Any of you feel that way? I praise God that Facebook was not a thing when I was a teenager. I have no idea what I might have posted out there, or even worse, what my parents might have posted about me out there. But all of us know that if we are judged on our past record, if we are held to a standard of perfection, that every person in this sanctuary and everybody that you and I know and could name will fall short. And there's some part of us in our hearts that we're kind of excited sometimes in that weird part of who we are when we see someone exposed for doing something worse than us. Well, I might be mad, but at least I never did that, right? My sin compared to their sin is just not quite nearly as bad. But all of us, in those moments where we know those parts of our heart, even the things that haven't been revealed in our actions, that all of us stand condemned before a righteous God, and our only hope The only good news that you and I could receive this morning is that God has done something for us that we could never do for ourselves. That thanks be to God, He does not judge us by our past record or the places that we've fallen short or even the things we said trying to get our family into the car for church this morning. But God extends us grace and mercy. And the only thing that we can do is glory not in how great we've been, but glory in the grace and the mercy that God has shown us in Jesus. When you open the book of Galatians, there is kind of a smear campaign that's happening in Paul's life. Paul had preached the gospel to churches in the region of Galatia. He'd gotten them started. They had responded in faith to the good news of the gospel that he proclaimed to them. And then, as was his habit, Paul would go on to other places. And after Paul had left these churches in the region of Galatia, false teachers had come in behind Paul. And they were questioning whether or not Paul had the right to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And they were planting seeds of uncertainty in the minds and the hearts of the believers who were there in those churches. And really, they were kind of highlighting Paul and saying, I can't believe you've listened to the message that Paul proclaims. Paul himself is not even worthy to be an apostle. He's not one of us. He's not credentialed. He's not authorized. And his message should not be accepted by you all. And Paul catches wind of this smear campaign that's happening against him, and he writes back in really powerful, almost, I would say, borderline angry terms. He starts out with an opening that's harmless enough in itself, Paul, an apostle, but then he quickly qualifies what kind of apostle he is. He's not from man nor through man, but he has been called by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He offers them grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6, he gets right down to business. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the gospel, the good news that I preached to you about resurrection hope through faith in Jesus Christ. I am astonished that you're so quickly turning from this hope. And you're turning to what Paul would call a different gospel, which he then says is really no gospel at all. A different message of good news that ultimately is no good news at all. And Paul goes so far as to say that if anybody, even himself, did you hear that? Even if I come back through the region of Galatia and I preach a message that's different than the one you believed when I first was among you, do not believe me. Anyone who would distort the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. And you and I might wonder, how is it that the believers in Galatia would so quickly believe in or throw out the good news of the gospel that Paul had preached among them? And one of the things that I think the Judaizers, that would be a name that you could use to refer to Paul's opponents, that is, they wanted to ask the believers in Galatia to not only believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus, but to also take on certain outward aspects of the Jewish faith and life and bring that back to Christ. Things, as we'll see, like circumcision or observing certain days as more holy than others. Anything other than belief in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And they would bring those things and they would say, hey, the gospel is about Jesus, but it's also about this. You taking on this outward sign of circumcision and belonging to God's people. Or maybe it's also about eating these certain things or not eating those things. Or maybe the gospel is also about observing certain holy days and not others. And Paul says that this different gospel is really no gospel at all. And there's a part of our hearts that we kind of like Jesus Christ and something else for salvation. There's a part of our hearts that we say, well, maybe I can be good enough. Maybe, Maybe I can observe certain laws at least well enough. Maybe I can be disciplined enough. Maybe there are certain things that in my own power I can do. And that kind of gospel might appeal to us because in a way, it gives us a certain sense of glory, does it not? Look at how good I am. Look at all the things that I've done. I read my Bible every day this week. I gave my tithes to the church. I told someone in my office about Jesus. I helped an old lady across the road, or an old man, excuse me, right? I did all of these things. I taught Sunday school. I went on a mission trip. Anything that we add to faith in Jesus Christ that we look to as a source of our righteousness that would then qualify us to be accepted before the Lord, that appeals to a certain part of us that we can do this. And as I look around the sanctuary this morning, one of the things that I'm reminded of is that so many of you out there in the world, you do so many wonderful things. And I see you, and maybe you hold positions or degrees, or you've done this, or you're from there. And we can look to our pedigree, or we can look to the things that we've accomplished for the Lord, or we can look to all the things that would somehow bring back to us that we somehow added to our salvation. We might hear that, we might say, that sounds pretty good, actually. That Jesus kind of helped me, kind of got me over the finish line, that I was almost there, and Jesus just kind of gave me a little bit more righteousness to justify myself before the Lord. And so Paul, he is writing in a powerful way to help the believers in Galatia understand that everything in their faith is at stake. That if they try to add anything to the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and call it the good news of the gospel, that they're turning away from the only one true gospel that truly exists. See, the good news of the gospel is not good news if you and I have to do something to hold up our end of the bargain. The good news of what God's done for us in Jesus is not good news if you and I have to do something to hold up our end of the bargain and add to it. Because one thing that's true of my human experience, and I guess it's probably true of your human experience, is that as you seek to be all that God would have for you to be in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will fail. You will fail. How many of you failed yesterday? And the gospel is not this good news, this declaration that Jesus has saved you and now it's your turn to add to what he has done for you. The gospel is fully that this is what God has done for you because you could not do it for yourselves. And in this moment, if you are in Jesus Christ, if you have professed your faith in him, you are as righteous and as loved and as accepted before the God of the universe as you ever will be. Let that fall in your heart just for a minute. That right now, in this moment, if you are in Jesus Christ, God the Father looks upon you and he sees you as perfectly righteous because of what he's done for you in his Son. The gospel is not good news if it's only partially about what Jesus has done for you and then he hands the ball to you and says, finish it off. Because at every point along the way, you and I will fall short of God's perfect righteous standards for us. And if we look to ourselves, we will not be left with grace and peace. We will be left with uncertainty and doubt and wonder. And you know how Paul responds to these opponents who are trying to bring him down and discredit him? He effectively says, I'm not playing that game. I'm not playing that game. That in my past, I was advancing among, when I was compared to all the other Jewish boys my age, I far excelled them. I was zealous to be perfect. I was the one at the top of the class. I knew the books of the Torah. I was in synagogue. I was at the temple. I was the one who set the standard for that. But when God was pleased to reveal Jesus Christ to me, that I was set apart even before I was born, and God revealed Jesus Christ to me, He showed me the error of my ways and the salvation that He would accomplish through His Son, that everything had changed for Paul. And no longer was Paul going to play the game of am I credentialed or am I as good as those people who are my opponents or can I justify myself? But he ultimately says it is not the messenger who validates the message, it's the message who validates the messenger. So that everyone who stands up and proclaims the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to pay attention to what they say. Not where they're from, or not what they look like, or not if they have the right degree hanging upon their wall. But do they boldly proclaim that all of us have fallen short of God's glory, that we have sinned, that we are deserving of condemnation, that there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves, but thanks be to God, the good news of the gospel to humans is that He has done it for us. That Jesus Christ, through His life, death, and His resurrection, has given us hope, and He's clothed us with the very righteousness of Jesus, and that everything that we have and everything that we will proclaim ultimately lifts up Jesus and magnifies Him. I love that song we sang. In fact, all the songs this morning pointing you to the gospel. That on that day when you stand before the Lord, do you know what your hope and your boast is going to be? Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So this morning, if you've fallen short, if you're someone who maybe all outward appearances, it seems like you got it together, seems like you would qualify, but you know deep down inside your heart that you are not righteous and you are not enough, hear the good news of the gospel, that Jesus is enough for you, that He has accomplished everything that you can accomplish, and that is your hope. And if you're here and you've been around Christianity a lot over the course of your life and you've heard some gospel stuff or some parts of Christianity, but maybe you haven't heard all of it, then this is the clearest proclamation of the gospel, hopefully, that you can hear, that whatever you've done, your shortcomings, that God loves you and He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. And the way that you accept that is to confess and admit that you've fallen short and to receive the gift of salvation that God's given to you in Jesus Christ. I hope that over the course of this fall that you and I are reminded that Christianity is ultimately good news. Good news. Before it's all of our ethics and before it's all of the things that come with it, before it's anything else, it's the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that God renews in all of us the sense of hope and joy and peace that He would have us to know because of all that He's given us in Him. I'd like you to pray with me. Father, we thank You for the good news of the gospel. And Lord, every person in this room, we admit to You that if we were judged by our own standards of righteousness, if we were judged by Your standards of righteousness and Your word, that we fall short. And we thank You that You do not call us to save ourselves, but You've sent Your Son in this world to save us, to do for us what we could not do. Pray that You would renew in us a sense of joy in the good news that You've given us, and we would proclaim it in word and deed to everyone who would hear. Not for our glory, but for Yours. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.